Furry Face presents Night of the Living Dreads podcast with your host, Otis B. Dreads, Jack L. Monkey, Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Indie horror has a new home.
Jack L. Monkey, I feel like we just did this.
Yeah, I know, right? It seems like just yesterday.
It looks like just yesterday.
Wait a minute.
What the hell is going on here? We're not just over at Scurry Face, the Scurry Face Facebook page, but we're also we're at the night of the... What are you doing over there?
They're giving me some more nicotine gum, goddammit.
Oh, all right. Did you drop something? Did you drop a pot or something?
No.
Oh, okay. No, but we are over also at Night of the Living Dreads, the Facebook group. We have a trifecta of indie goodness tonight.
Woo!
This is a first. This really is a first, at least for us. We've had two guests. We've had Tommy McLaughlin and Mick Strawn on at the same time. We've done the double guest, Betsy Baker, Teresa Tilly.
Yeah, we've done Joe Castro and Doug Epps.
Exactly. We've done the tag team, but we haven't done a triple threat type deal. And here's the great thing. They're all working on the same indie project.
Let me
build this up a little bit. I want to thank everyone in the chat. We got some people joining us now. Thank you guys. Here's the thing. We were supposed to have one writer director Josh Graves on. You know, he wrote and wrote. what the fuck does that even mean? That F-bomb reminded me up there, as you can see, little Otis up there is letting you all know that this is an 18 and over show. Parental advisory. He's doing the karate chop on the what the hell? And so yes, he wrote and directed A House That Eats Flesh, which is not out yet. That's one of my favorite new coming movies. I can't wait to see that one, as well as what we're going to get into tonight, Late Checkout, which is out on Indiegogo. And man, is it doing good. But Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But he's also the upcoming Shotgun Hooker as well.
What a name, right? How can you not love something that's called Shotgun
Hooker? I'm already fucking sold because, like, it automatically sounds like I spit on your grave or, like, one of those type of... So I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So... This is what we're doing. We're just gonna bring all of them in now, and we'll start with Mouse. That is not a birth name, is it? Mouse Parks.
No, it's not. Mouse is a nickname I've had since I was little. I am the shortest person in my family.
Oh, that makes sense.
Have been for a long time, but I'm rather tall, so it's kind of a oxymoron by calling me that. Everybody I'm very short.
All right. And then we'll start with the ladies first, because again, we have three of them, and we're not three ladies. We have Molly Souza. How are you, Molly?
I'm wonderful. Better now that I'm seeing you guys.
Exactly. Right. I was starting to wonder. I was like, oh, man, she hasn't seen the message yet. And then last moment, bam, you're here. And then.
Hell yeah.
Here's the great part here with our third guest here. So Derek Worley, he's actually a neighbor of ours. He is residing in none other than Dayton, Ohio. How are you, Derek? I mean, I know that's not something that we really are too proud of. if you know Dayton, you understand what I'm talking about. All right, let's get right into this. This is the first time I've ever had three guests, and then, of course, myself and James on here. You guys are all working on Late Checkout. Before we get into you guys, let's roll that beautiful bean footage. the teaser trailer, and then we'll start talking about it from there.
Another body has been found in Banner Elk. That's 8 bodies this week and 10 still missing. Banner Elk police have dubbed this killer the Banner Elk Butcher.
I don't know what goes through Josh's mind, but that is the second one in the row that I can't, that I'm dying to see. Of course, the first, as I mentioned, The House That Eats Flesh had me on. We had Lydia on not that long ago talking about The House That Eats Flesh. And this
and
is
again, man,
this
I mean,
is
geez.
Another one. Wow. My goodness. All right, let's just start with you, Mouse. We'll go right on down to Molly, end up with Derek. What is your thoughts on this movie? Tell us about your character. We've seen y'all strung up there. I mean, we could tell by the tattoos. I mean, there's more tattoos on this podcast than probably ever before, is what I'm thinking. Tell us about your character working on this movie, and then we'll go right on around the room.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on, first of all. It's very exciting. I'm going to play the character. Her name is Kat, which pause for anybody who wants to joke that Mouse is playing Cat, but see.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
Cat is trying to enjoy her birthday with her boyfriend at a remote cabin in the woods.
That never turns out good.
And it doesn't exactly go the way that that was planned. And
apparently Cat never saw Evil Dead.
Yeah, apparently not. But I'm kind of short and sweet. That's actually all I can say about my character right now.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like you can't really throw a whole lot out there. I'm just trying to get a feel, maybe right. The listeners a feel for what they can expect. So this is basically, I mean, is that kind of how your character Molly is as well? You're just kind of harassed by somebody in the woods kind of thing in a cabin?
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like what we can say is we are going, as friends, going out to the cabin in the woods and everything goes totally fine. Hitch, no problem. Have a great vacation. A lot of soul bonding and talking. A lot of long talking scenes. No.
Very romantic. It's slow.
Yeah. I'm playing Addison, who is a very type A. I think I describe her usually as Ginger Barbie, which is what I was doing in House of Deeds Flesh. So that's pretty fun. And she's expecting a fun-filled weekend with her friends. And I think that it might get out of hand.
I'm assuming, I'm going to put my money on the fact that it does get out of hand just going by that little trailer and teaser.
I'm getting the feeling.
Yeah, right. No, and here's the thing that I love about, you know, the trailer of House It Eats Flesh and this trailer is that there's just enough given out. You know, I don't feel like I'm getting all the best scenes in the movie, all the gory scenes in the movie. Speaking of gore,
exactly,
Derek, I'm sorry, dear.
Just to tease you.
Exactly, and that's all. Really, a trailer I think is supposed to do is just tease you for that 2 minutes, two and a half minutes.
And hell, dude, that's like back in the '80s, like even like the Leatherface trailer, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. You know, like, dude, like it had absolutely nothing. Nothing in that was in the fucking movie. I mean, it was like an Excalibur fucking chainsaw coming out of the lake. For fuck's sake, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was literally nothing in the movie at all. Like, they don't do trailers like that. And that's, again, he's bringing in that fucking '80s vibe, '80s soul, and I'm fucking loving it, dude.
I get that as well. And you know, one part of bringing that '80s vibe of a slasher film, a good slasher film, is obviously the gore. You can't have, you know, an '80s slasher type movie without somebody being drenched in some kind of blood. And then, Derek, that's where you come in. You're doing some special effects on did you, forgive me, maybe I didn't do my homework complete. Did you work on House That Eats Flesh, or is it just Late Checkout?
I did not work on House That Eats Flesh, no. Okay. That was Angel Bradford. But I am on Late Checkout, yes. And, I mean, when Josh hit me up, you know, and he kind of gave me an idea of what was going to be going on in the film, he told me he wanted lots of blood, and I was like, well, you know, not to brag or anything, but you came to the right place. You know, it's you gotta have lots of gore in a film, and I feel like, you know, when we were shooting that trailer, man, he was like, you know, I want some real solid gore, and it seems like people really enjoyed it, specifically the guts dropping, Bailey getting covered in blood. Those guts, the way they slap,
if that trailer could have had anything else added to it, was the sound that my entrails made when you dropped them in front of me.
It was like macaroni noises, just plop. I mean, it was really gross, and we all had a good laugh. Yeah, but I tell you, just based on the way Josh and I have talked about some of these kills, then kind of some of the artistic liberties he's letting me take on some of them, because there were several ways, like, a kill happens, and he told me, he's like, you write in what you think would be good. So I've written some stuff and sent it to him. He's like, yes, this is amazing.
Nice.
So I don't think the trailer's even going to hold a candle to the film. You know, the most blood I have used in a film up to this point was around 5 or 6 gallons, and I want to try and double that with this if I can. Ideally, I would like to attempt to double it. Because he said he wants it grimy, he wants it gross, he wants it graphic, and I was like, say no more. let's get it done.
Well, really fun special things about working with Josh.
Yeah. You're no stranger to gore yourself either. I mean, even before this, you did some work in Zombieland too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Zombieland Double Tap. I was part of the, oh my god, what was it?
James, like, don't pay attention, Molly. I got you.
he's excited about it.
I know. And yeah, I mean, he's got a special effects guy. Molly's like, yeah. And the thing about Josh, and James is like, by the way, special effects, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no, I was part of like a 30-something makeup. I mean, there was, I want to say, between 32 and 36 different makeup artists on Zombieland, and I was one of them. Yes, yeah, so that was. That was a ton of fun. I was down in Atlanta for about a month of their, what was it, like a 6-month shoot. So I was down there for the whole month of March doing that. All overnight shoots. It was a ton of fun. But Molly had some really good things to say about Josh, which, again, I can't say enough about him with some of the artistic liberties he's let me take. So.
Oh, I was just going to say that Josh uses pretty much 100% practical effects. We're not, you know, which I think I've mentioned before, but it's really awesome, not only as someone who watches horror, who lives to see like Bailey getting absolutely demolished by the blood, is more joy in my heart than seeing my loved ones being murdered and murdering. But you know, it's awesome when you're watching it, but then when you're acting in it and it's really there and
actually being in it,
entity that you are interacting with, like there were points in, this isn't Derek's work, there were points in House That Eats Flesh that like cast members had to leave the room because it's fucking gross. Can I say?
Wow. Absolutely. Little Otis up there has already warned everybody.
Horrifying.
Wow. Derek
can really, really bring that super horrifying element. I like when you're watching a horror movie and it just says like squelching at the bottom, you know, when there's like blood and squelching, brought to you by Derek Worley on this one.
Well, that's exactly what I think we want in a good old-fashioned gritty 1980s type slasher movie. We don't, you know, big Hollywood companies.
Don't fucking hold back.
Yeah, big Hollywood companies. You're not going to go to Hollywood. Indie filmmakers are making this happen with films like Late Checkout, with films like House That Eats Flesh. You know, and so many other projects, you know, to name. I'm reposting shit all the time. You know, I mean, you need that. You need that. And it's good to see that somebody like Josh is writing and directing things in that fashion.
Writing and directing things in that
fashion. Right. You know, Josh
is a really good example of a fan that is getting to live that dream and actually do the thing.
Dude, that's what I get a feeling of. Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things. You can tell when, you know, certain filmmakers are doing it just for a paycheck or they're doing it just for the, you know, for the shiggles. But Josh genuinely, after being at his house and seeing his horror, like, you can tell shiggles, shits and giggles.
Oh, you just combined shiggles. That. Oh, no, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. You can say both shit and giggles. You know, you don't have giggles. To combine it. We ain't that pressed.
I've always said shiggles because it's hilarious. But okay, no, he's such a huge fan of the genre and of these films himself, and you can tell that. He wants to make the movies that he wanted to see growing up or that he still wants to see to this day. And I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be involved with, you know, the dream projects and things like that? So I think he's really taking it to the next level.
Right.
Hey, these are the movies I want to see, and I know I'm not the only one who wants to see this. And, you know, I know lots of my actor friends, they want to deliver performances that, you know, they've dream performances they've always wanted to do or see. And, you know, I'm always wanting to present effects that I've always wanted to do or see. And you know, we're all huge fans, and you know, so I think we want to set out and make not only the best project that we can, but make something that we're proud of and make the film that we want to see.
Well, and you also don't have the restrictions. Yeah, you don't have the restrictions, you know, in indie filmmaking. You can really let your creativity, you know, kind of flourish as a director, you know, as a writer. Let's just go. Let's start with you, Mouse. Is this something you always wanted to do? Did you always want to act in a horror movie? How did you get started?
I think everyone, well, maybe not everybody, but I grew up watching horror movies. My mom loved horror movies. I've just had eclectic and weird crap around me my whole life. So I've just always been kind of attracted to oddities and horror movies and in cemeteries and things like that. So, you know, I would lie.
Right.
There's part of my brain that thought it would be so cool to be just in, you know, one of those movies growing up. But as an actual, you know, tangible thing, no, I never thought of that at all. I just, you know.
Did you go to acting school? I mean, did you have any formal training or anything? It was just kind of who you know. And, you know, Lydia said the same thing, although she does some, like, improv-type classes she mentioned, you know, a few times a week.
Really? So you've had no training at all?
No, sir. Just being
Holy
me.
Holy shit.
What about you, Molly? Did you have any kind of formal training in acting? I mean, is this something you've always wanted to do, or did it kind of just fall into your lab? Is something you, I mean, how did it work for you?
So I am at heart, at my core, an annoying theater kid, like born and raised. And my parents own like a quirky little black box theater in my hometown, which is always, you know, they're not doing like Cats and shit. Like they're doing, they're doing weird kind of gritty pieces.
Nice.
So I was always into reality through acting. And I think that with horror acting in particular, like there is so often a scream trapped in everyone's throat, you know, but this horrors that we have all kind of experienced to varying degrees. So I think that horror presents a unique opportunity because you don't, you almost don't want the formal training. You just want some like raw screaming, letting it out, fighting like I fought in that moment back then, screaming like you want to scream. Like it's a super thrilling, not just as like someone who's interested in his acting, but just as like a woman who's had to put up with a bunch of bullshit. So I kind of fell into the horror part, but I've always loved acting. And I think Mouse had said like the strange and unusual.
Right.
Nice.
Now, before we get to you, Derek, Mouse, your husband, I seen, is it your husband that's in Late Checkout as well? Now, is he acting?
Yes, he's going to be playing.
He was also in Pool Party Massacre with you, wasn't he?
Well,
we're
supposed to be in Pool Party Massacre 2.
Yes. That's what it was, yeah.
Yes. So that's well in pre-production, things like that, you know, COVID kind of.
What is your other halves? What's your other halves role in Late Checkout, as much as you can tell us?
His will be pretty short and sweet like mine. He gets to play my other half. So he will be playing Paul, who is my boyfriend, sharing the
camera.
Not a whole lot of acting really needed there. I mean, really, you guys are already playing the damn part. Well, that's awesome. Okay, good luck to him. Derek, did you always, was this like a childhood thing to make monsters and make pour blood on fucking people? I mean, is that what you wanted to do?
It totally wasn't, honestly. I mean, like, I've been artistic my whole life. I've always liked, you know, painting, drawing, things like that. But my heart really is in music. If you come in my actual studio, it's like there's hardly any movie posters. It's a lot of just artwork, but also like signed records and tour posters and things like that. But it's like I'm not musically inclined in the slightest. As I kind of got older, like I've always enjoyed horror movies. But as I started to watch like behind the scenes and things like that and seeing how, you know, the effects artists were creating these different things, I was like, man, I should try my hand at this. It looks like a lot of fun. And hell, they all have long hair and heavy metal shirts. So, I mean, why not? And I mean, one thing kind of led to another. Next thing I know, I'm doing it. And now it's kind of my full-time gig.
Like,
shit, now I haven't really prepared for anything else my whole life. So I guess I'm doing this. it's fun and I love it. And
that's
you know,
awesome.
Fucking love man.
Yeah, it's like awesome. Molly said, you know, bringing this stuff to life and grossing people out on set, giving them something tangible that they can touch, see physically to help them with their performances. It's like there's something really special about that, and sharing those experiences with the directors and, you know, the writers, the actors, and whoever else. I mean, it's always a lot of fun. And
how long have you been doing this, Derek, as far as the special effects and getting the you know, constant jobs, I guess?
So I would say I started playing around with it when I was in like middle school. So around like 2010, 2011, my first gig was actually the film Fear Clinic, which shot up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Shit.
I had Robert Englund and all that. So that was my first film that I worked on. I worked under Steve Johnson and Robert Kurtzman, both who are really, really great guys. And so, you know, I was 19 when I got that gig. So it was my first project. And then immediately after that, I moved to California and I started working at a few different FX shops out there.
They're going to California. That's the place you ought to be.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I quit for about a year after that, got back into it for about 2 years, quit again. And then I've been doing it pretty steadily since 2019. So
awesome. And How long have you been doing it, Mouse? The acting. I guess from your first gig. I mean, your first real gig. When was that?
When did we go to North Carolina, Derek?
December 17th.
Since December 17th.
Jeez.
No shit. Wow.
That's awesome. What about you, Molly? I mean, do you have a more extensive...
I was literally breastfed on stage. So I've been... I don't
you
know.
Said literally. Now, hold on. This was reality theater here.
Yeah. So for a long time, but for in the horror industry and in film, which is, might not seem like it, but a very large departure from theatrical acting.
Oh, no.
Like 2017, I think, is when I first started working on horror stuff in the horror indie community. Long time cover, but fresh into it. Not as fresh as Mouse. That's incredible.
But you know what's cool too is that teaser trailer. Actually, so that was my first time acting. That was my husband's first time, and I believe that was Bailey's first time acting ever.
It was Bailey. This is going to be
three of us. With Jaren, who's obviously experienced, and then Jaren, who's amazing, of course, with Josh directing. It was so fun and new and unique and exciting for all of us because it was like our first little, like, you know, hand in the pot. Just a little. It was just so fun. And Bailey was so adorable. She was like so cold because it was freezing and it was raining, but she just loved having the, and I don't blame her. I'm not jealous at all, but she loved the blood all over her. She was so excited. She was not upset with that.
She was having a blast. And I know this is one of her first movies as well. I know she's doing a Texas Chainsaw fan film in March. And then this.
Is that Sawyer Massacre?
Yes, the Sawyer Massacre.
We had Steve on the show.
I was just talking to Steve not terribly long ago, about a week ago. We were chatting on Facebook, and he's a really cool dude.
He's a great fucking guy.
Yeah, so it's cool that we've got such a wide variety of people on this. You know, like Mal said, we have folks that are brand new at this. We have folks that have been doing it for, I mean, many, many years. We have people that are, you know, seasoned, and this is like one of the first bigger projects. I mean, we have a little bit of everything on this, and it's amazing the interactions we have even in our group chats and how much fun we have just talking with one another. And how, I mean, there's no egos, there's none of that nonsense. It's just, it feels like a group of friends chatting and having fun. And that's the best thing you can ask for, because even within indie film, people get the egos and stuff. And it's just, and this, none of it matters. We're sitting, I mean, when we first started the chat, we're like, oh, what's everyone's horoscopes? And, you know, what's your sign? And, you know, do you have any pets? And it was so much fun, and we were just having a blast.
All right, is there any Leos here? Oh. Who's a Leo? Oh, nobody?
No Leos. Oh, man.
Well, I am.
Oh, wow.
I'm a damn fish.
A fish. But yeah, I mean, it's so amazing having that, you know, like Mal said, on set, we had so much fun, and we were only filming for just the one day. And a lot of us, it was the first, like, I had met Jaren before. We had worked on two projects prior, They See You and then another short film in Nashville. So I've known Jaren for a little over a year at this point. But, like, everyone else, it was our first time meeting. And immediately, we just all clicked so well. And it did not feel like, oh, I got to get to know these people before I can crack a joke or before we can laugh or have fun. And it's like, it just felt so right. Yeah. And I've only maybe been on one or two sets before that were like that. So it was like the best feeling ever.
That's like one of my favorite things about working with Josh. I've worked with Josh before on House That Eats Flesh, obviously. And he cultivates just such a feeling of belonging and inspires both, I think, in his writing process and his directing style. Everyone has such ownership over what they're doing. You don't ever feel like, fuck, am I doing this wrong? Am I doing okay? Am I experiencing other people? Like, how do I measure up? Because it's yours. You are given a character that's, you know, sometimes written for you. I can't help but think, like, Mouse's part was written for Mouse, man. And and she's going to do it how she wants to do it, and it's going to be perfect, because that's the creative platform that's been presented to us, is that we all get these bones and this story, and then we get to really like freak that shit and get to know each other and come up with these dynamics. And
go ahead, James.
It worked out perfect, because like, I mean, like, I never would have fucking guessed that she had no training at all, period. I mean, the eyes, I mean, God, I know you've probably heard this 8 million times already, but God damn, that shot with the eyes. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Got big eyes. Just works that way.
That's like one of the
but it's very
people
effective.
Talk about the most. Yeah.
Well, it's just that look that won't.
But it is cool, and Josh is really, really awesome.
It's over.
What I missed.
The eye look.
Josh is cool. He makes it very, very easy. Even just the day on set that I was there, and I'm sure Molly knows, you know, obviously more from being on the House of East Flesh, but even just talking to him beforehand and on set, he allows you to just gives this wiggle room with your character. He wants you to kind of form it to how you're the most comfortable, so that it, you know, almost matches how you want. And it doesn't have to be exactly how he wants his image. And, you know, he makes it very clear of, you know, feel free to fuck up. You're going to fuck up. That's fine. Like, just do it. Just do it how you want to do it. Like, there's no pressure. So it went from being this kind of very, you know, intimidating thing to like, oh, we're just hanging out.
Yeah, we're just hanging out. We're going to act this way, walk this way. You know, it reminds me, because I'm a huge fan of behind the scenes and the making of and things like that, seeing how things are put together and, you know, in a movie situation. And I was watching one about Halloween, my favorite of the franchises. I'm a huge Myers guy. And, you know, oh, damn it. Why can't I think of his fucking name now? Nick Castle. Nick Castle, you know, he's asking John Carpenter, like, all right, well, how do you want me to walk across the street? And he was like, John was just like, just fucking walk across the street. Just walk. You know, I mean, just walk. That's all you got to do. You know, he was like, you know, he's trying to get in the character when all John wanted was, hey, you know, and I heard it from other actors that worked under him, which is what this is reminding me of, kind of with Josh, from what you guys are explaining, is that it's like, look, you know, I brought you here because I trust your ability. And maybe I had you in mind when writing this script and when writing, you know, that part. So, yeah, just do what you're here for, you know.
Just do you.
Just do you, exactly. And I think that gives the actors, I think it takes that pressure off, like, oh, I got to impress
them. Right, exactly.
I can just be whoever, and like you said, Mouse, if I fuck up, I fuck up. Mm-hmm. You know, we could take another take, you know, or, you know, hopefully there's not a lot of blood involved, because that can get kind of costly. You have to keep soaking people with blood and then have to, oh God, got to do it again. Did you ever have anything like that on set where you had to like, oh God, now we got to clean everything up? I think Lydia talked about something like that, having to like clean up and shit after a whole bunch of blood. I don't know.
There's been a couple times where I've done a kill. I mean, and there's like just ungodly amounts of blood everywhere. And they're like, all right, is there any way we can reset this? And I literally just look at them like, what the fuck are you talking?
Really? Are you
kidding
serious?
Me? And I was like, and then I'm like reaching for the prop knife, like, I got it out. And I'm like, all right, how sharp is this thing? I'm gonna stab this person. And then it's like, but seriously, I mean, there's been a couple times where I'm like,
give me a real fucking
you're
knife.
Fucking joking, right? Like, how are we gonna reset this? There's blood everywhere.
How does Kiro syrup? How does Kiro syrup clean up? I mean, because that's some pretty sticky shit.
Hey, you know what? We have our secrets on how we make it easy to clean up. Because, I mean, even Mouse has seen firsthand with how you've seen the pictures of how covered Bailey was. She went in the shower, she rinsed off, she came out. She was not stained one bit. Mm-hmm. That stuff cleans amazingly, but it's a secret. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
We should make it out of corn syrup and then hire like a fleet of like 10 golden retrievers. So anytime you're covered in blood, they
release the puppies.
You reset from the top. But it's, I was going to say, it's so cool working with Josh and being in that environment where, I mean, first off, where you're not being pressured, and second off, where he's not going to make you clean up gallons of blood, because you hear so many horror stories about, like, Shelley Duvall in The Shining, or The Birds, where directors will purposely
traumatize,
torture and traumatize people.
Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell and The Evil Dead set. I think they had a love-hate relationship.
And it's so, that's so perplexing. I mean, it's probably at some point that argument about, like, spare the rod, spoil the trout. Like, can you get that kind of performance without pressure? Which I think you absolutely can. And you might get a better performance if everyone is comfortable and happy and enjoying themselves and feeling that, like, trust and love, rather than feeling like fucking terrified of their psychopath.
Right, not being fucking mentally abused. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, speaking of mentally abused, here's some work from Derek. He sent me a few pictures. There we go. Look at that. Now you can't see it, Jackal Monkeys, but no, that's some really good work. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah. So that was a slit throat from the film Deadly Dealing.
You don't say.
Yeah. Pretty meaty one too. That was before and after blood. I always take a picture before and after, because before you can see a little bit more detail than you can after the blood's applied. That was on Helene Udy from she was from My Bloody Valentine. She came down for a few days and was in the film, and she gets her throat cut off screen, so you see it after it has happened. But that was one of my favorite cut throats I've ever done. It turned out really.
Here's another one. This poor guy lost his head.
So that, oh, Molly, your face. So yeah, that was a head stomp from the movie They See You. And if you look up the film They See You, it is actually in the trailer. But a lovely little shopkeeper goes to protect his wife from a killer, and she's already dead. But not quite. He gets thrown to the ground, and then he gets his head stomped on like 6 or 7 times, and that is the result of that happening. So. That was a ton of fun to film, by the way. It was stuffed with bags of blood and like chunks and stuff. And when that actor kicked it, he used his heel. So like there's like a fan of blood that shot out of the side of the head up the walls and stuff. I mean, it was fucking nuts. And we were all just like, holy shit. It was like everywhere. It was one of the last effects we did for the film. So we were like losing our minds. It was a ton of fun. Yeah,
that's great. Here's Molly playing peekaboo.
That's actually on the other side of me. You can see her cute little head poking out.
Who is it?
Lydia.
Man. Oh, Lydia. That's what I thought. I had seen some. You had sent some pictures over to me, and I'm like, that looks a lot like Lydia. But I mean, the indie horror genre, I'm not even gonna lie, has a lot of dark haired goth girls running around. I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, hey, they all look alike. Forgive the
He's right.
Let's see, what else we got here? What is this? Oh, there's a slasherette party.
That's me. That's actually one I worked on with Drew Marvick.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Oh yeah, Drew. Nice. Yeah,
a really nice misunderstood guy.
Where's House of East Flesh? What is this?
Yeah, one? I fucking love Drew as well. Drew's awesome.
That's a guillotine with Derek and his dad.
So okay, fun story. True story. So I've been wanting to start setting up at cons to kind of help promote the work that I'm doing as well as the films I'm working on. Such and I was like, hey, I nice need a backdrop.
Okay, God.
And my dad's like, well, why don't we build a guillotine and then you put that fake head that you made for They See You on the table? I was like, dude, that's genius. So we there was a barn on the edge of our town being torn down that was like 100 years old. So we got the wood from that barn and then we built a fucking guillotine and then we took these photos in our living room. So yeah, we were like, hey, let's take one of those cheesy
that's in your living room?
It looks
Well, that's what I was thinking. It's upstairs. It's in my bedroom right now, actually. Yeah. So you can imagine when my partner came to visit me for the first time and she saw that, she was just like, oh. And I'm just like, hey, you still like me, right? So,
I mean, it's awesome because it looks like just your, you know, your everyday family photo with a just a head and a guillotine.
It was your dad's idea.
My dad was like, we should do that, and I was like, yeah, you know what, that's a great idea. Because
that's a parenting win right there,
dude. He is super supportive. And he loves everything I do, and he's like, dude, that'd be so cool. He's like, how are we gonna make it? I was like, let's start drawing blueprint, and we spent about a half hour, 45 minutes drawing up blueprints of like, how are we going to build this but make it collapsible so it'll fit in the back of my car. So it's about a little over 7 foot tall, but it collapses down to where no piece is longer than about 3 feet, and it all fits in the back of my car. It's amazing.
A guillotine on the go.
Yes, exactly. I can take it to different horror conventions and put it up behind my table to be like, hey, this is what we can make, but also check out all the stuff I've worked on. It's a win-win for everybody. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Speaking of like horror conventions, have you guys had a chance to go to your first one yet, Mouse?
No, I've only been to one as a fan.
And none as an actress yet.
No, not yet. That would be fun, but
I think it would be. Yeah,
I think I would just get caught up walking around and wanting to talk to everybody else and buying all of their scary merch.
Is that where you're at as well, Molly? You've been as a fan, but not as an actress yet, or
I don't like large groups of people.
I get it.
But
a large group of people is called a fuck that.
Yeah,
that's accurate.
I agree. I don't blame. Although I will suffer through it. I have medication to help me suffer through the anxiety of large groups of people.
Right.
Thank you, Ohio, for being a medical state. That's all I'm going to say. What do you guys have planned? Let's start with, we'll go the opposite way this time. Let's start with you, Derek. Is everything done with late checkout? Or, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, how much, what do you got next on your plate?
So late checkout, once the crowdfunding is completed, that's when I'll sit down with Josh and I gather up all the budget and get that sent over to me so I can start creating everything for the film.
How long do you think that would take? I mean, because I'm sure you probably already read the script. You know about what you're going to have to look at, you know, I mean.
It'll take about a month or two of prep for me, which isn't too terrible.
That don't seem too hateful.
The biggest thing I'm running into is that last year I was a part of 15 different productions, which is a lot.
Overachiever.
I did a lot of stuff last year, and what became a problem was I'd have three movies that would film in a row. So I was going from like one state to another, and I wouldn't be home for 2.5-3 months at a time because I'm just constantly traveling. So it's like prepping for multiple movies at a time. It takes up a lot of time. I currently only have 4 planned for this year so far, and they go all the way up into July. Yeah, I know. For this, it's probably my most in the top. It's one of the more effects heavy of all the stuff I've got.
I was going to ask you how late checkout, you know, stacks up effects wise compared to everything else you've done. Is it more blood, I'm assuming, and we know I
don't know. There is one other one that I can't talk about currently that I think they're going to be neck and neck.
They're
neck and neck. But I got 2 others that aren't as effects heavy that I'm going to be doing. But everything's spaced out enough to where I should have plenty of time to do everything. So, like I said, late checkout has a couple really big effects that I'm wanting to do that I'll put prep time. I mean, about I'd say a month and a half of work. So it keeps me busy. It's fun.
Molly, how long are you going to, are you planning on being on set when, you know, everything starts going?
So indie horror, I mean, you ride her hard and put her away wet. I think we usually do
Well, okay then.
19-hour shoot on set for like a week. You know, you film your whole thing in a week. So right now, I'm just like I said, I'm an annoying theater kid. So I'm doing a lot of, you know, asking other characters, how did our characters meet? Bugging Elsie play my better half, bugging him with my little like Pinterest boards about our aesthetic and all that like behind the scenes shit that no one will see, no one will know, but right.
So then, you know, kind of like outside of like making like, you know, indie movies, you're kind of doing some like theater work, staying busy, and the whole acting is basically, all right. What about you, Mouse? You know, how long, I mean, you were only on there for one, like a day or so, right? Because your character and you and your husband's character, they don't last very long, do they?
I don't know.
You don't, do
maybe
you?
Maybe they do, maybe they do.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. All right.
I just don't like to give a lot of stuff away.
I don't blame you.
So, yeah, how long will actually be on set? I'm not really sure. So up until then, we just been having fun trying to practice around the house. I have the luxury of being able to act with my husband and the person that I get to live with and I love. So you know, we get to pretend and play and practice. It's actually part of it is really cool and seems easier because we are together and we get that prep time, but it's also weird because it's like we're acting ourselves, but we're not ourselves. So trying to be serious about that because we're really goofy and we take work seriously, but we don't take a lot of things seriously. So trying to be like, we have to be serious, we have to do this and we have to act and practice and stuff is like, it's hard and easy at the same time, but it's fun and amazing. And we're just super, super excited and super grateful to even be able to do it. So, and just be able to be on a list of people included in this movie, like Molly and Derek and Hannah Fearman and Elsie Holt and fucking Felissa Rose.
I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, come on now.
And you know, before before we even forget, I mean, hit up Indiegogo, indiegogo.com /project/late checkout or just search late checkout, check out. I see what I did there. How many times can I fucking say that? check out the trailer. I'm going to refresh this because, and the reason that, you know, I want to, you know, stuff because they're right just under $13,000, 70% with 28 days left, kicking some serious ass. But there was a perk, and I think Josh put that perk up again where you could actually have speaking lines with, listen, mm-hmm. Right? The chick with the dick. who wouldn't want that, right?
Right? I mean, come on now.
Having worked with Felissa already, I can tell you it's something you don't want to miss out on because she is an absolute blast. She is a delight to be around, and I know we did sell one of those perks already of the act with Felissa Rose.
Yeah, so. I see that. Yeah, yeah.
It's someone who bought that same perk for Dark Circle, so it's someone who is on that's now backing this one to come work on it as well.
No, that's awesome.
That's exciting.
No, that's great. I mean, just to be on camera, have a little speaking line with Felissa. That would be awesome, right?
Yeah, like a fucking legend. I mean, come on now. Yeah.
We had reached out to her, you know, a while back about coming on the show, and I think she was game, but she was doing the convention circuit at the time.
Yeah, she was busy on the con circuit. Yeah,
she was real busy. Yeah, so
she is a con champion. Oh my God, she's at a different con every weekend. Yeah. It's nuts, yeah.
It is. Every time I turn around, I'm seeing shit like that.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. So get over there to the Indiegogo. Check out all the awesome perks. Donate if you can. If you can, if you don't have the finances to do that at this moment.
Share,
because you never know, you know. I mean, I can't believe how... I mean, we were talking about this briefly before we, you know, went live, but I can't believe how quick that Indiegogo campaign it hit the ground running. I mean, like taking off, like, you know, just within like an hour, there's like $2,000-$3,000. Like, how is this happening? You know, but it's great to see a lot of support because, again, indie horror is where you're going to see a lot of the, you know, the different storylines. We're seeing the same kind of shit regurgitated everywhere. And now we're getting more creativity, and you're going to find that from the indie horror scene, man. So that's awesome.
Exactly. And I mean, shit. I mean, look at the cast. I mean, fucking Hannah Fearman, too. I mean, shit. I mean, geez Louise. I mean,
what's been, let's speaking of, you know, cast, talking about Felissa, is Felissa maybe the biggest person that you've worked with so far? Or, I mean, who's the biggest one that you've worked with and, you know, on a project?
Everyone on this project is the biggest person that I've worked
with. Oh, it's project. Everybody gets a gold star. I see it.
They do. Everybody is awesome and fun in their own right. And everybody, you know, I'm just grateful to, like I said, even be on the same piece of paper as everybody on this project. So Felissa Rose stands out only because when I was younger watching Sleepaway Camp, like, we would do the face to freak each other out.
Right.
Like, that's what I have, like, pictures of us little doing the, like, you know, I was like, right. Holy shit. So but I'm excited to work with everybody. Like, everybody is so amazing. And I mean, I have a pool party mascara right behind me. So yeah, working with Drew is very exciting. So I'm very lucky to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say, Molly?
Beautiful, amazing people that are in.
No, absolutely. Molly, what would you say is probably the highlight of your career so far?
So far, I mean, we had Lisa Wilcox. I got to hang out with Lisa Wilcox on the set of House That Eats Flesh. Lisa, Felissa, I've worked with Ginger Lynn, was a fun one. Drew, of course, everyone here. Just really, like Mouse said, it's an incredible talent. Elsie Holt is in, like, one of my favorite horror movies of all time. I, like, fangirled over him as, like, a 14-year-old, and now I'm playing his girlfriend on film. Super crazy.
He's a great guy. We've had him on the show talking about his projects. He's a really fun guy.
Yeah, Elsie's fucking awesome.
And even though he's new, working with Josh is really something special. It's a really rewarding experience as an actor. And also, I think he's headed for the stars, you know, his heart's in the right place.
Oh, absolutely.
Badass media shit. So I'm honored to be there on the ground floor with Josh.
No, I mean, that's awesome. And, you know, it really helps, I would imagine, you know, to be, you know, kind of new at the acting thing, as both of you are, for the most part. I mean, within 4 or 5 years, you know, of doing it, some less, Mouse. But, you know, it is nice to be able to work with a director like that makes you feel comfortable, gives you the confidence, you know, to be the best actress or actor that you can be. And I'm sure that kind of works the same way with the special effects, right, Derek? I mean, he gives you probably what, you know, the playground. Now, here it is, man. Make this happen. Make it as gory and as bloody as possible. And absolutely. I'm sure there's not a whole lot of restraints when it comes to special effects.
There's really not. And, you know, there's been so many scripts that I've read where I'm like, oh, my God, do these people even have any idea how intense this is going to be to make or even bring it to life? Right. And Josh is one of those people where when you talk to him, he's so grounded, and he has such a great understanding and willingness to listen when he's like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Or he's like, here's what I'm thinking. Is this possible? Or within these parameters, what can you do? And it's like, he gives me the opportunity to be like, how big or small do you want to keep this? Where do you want to go with this? And it's just that's an amazing thing, you know? And there's he has such a great understanding of, like, this isn't Hollywood. We don't have millions of dollars to work with. We don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to work with. But he's like, you know, I'm going to get you the money you need to make this as good as it can be. And he's just been very, very good about just being understanding, but being like, you know, this is what I want. how can you bring this to life? But how are you also going to have fun with it and make it something that you're proud of too? Because he wants all of us to be proud of the work. And kind of going back to the things that, you know, Molly and Mouse were saying from before of, you know, if somebody messes up something or, you know, making sure people feel comfortable. Because it's like, if there's like this stupid amount of stress on you while you're working, whether it's something I'm doing, Jaren, Josh, Molly, Mouse, anything, if there's something we're doing and it's like all eyes on us and there's all this like stupid, ridiculous pressure, you're more likely to fuck up and it's going to be more embarrassing or more like detrimental or stuff. But it's like, if we're having fun and a fuck up happens, it's like, all right, well, how can we run with that and make it work? You know, and that's where the true creativity of indie comes into play. And that's, that's when some of the most fun and entertaining things happen is kind of the things you don't expect, but it's like, shit, how can we run with this and make it really cool? You know? So,
Yeah. Cause that, nine times out of 10, you're probably inventing a new way of doing something.
Absolutely. That... And you know, then that's the beauty of doing what we're doing. There is no right or wrong way to do any of this. Whatever I'm doing, whether it's me, Jaren, Josh, or any of the talent involved, there's no right or wrong way. It's just everybody has their own way of doing it. And it's like, how can, you know, all of our different ways of doing things, how can we make it all coexist and create incredible art and be collaborative? And again, like we've all said a million times, that the amount of collaboration and mutual respect and understanding that everyone's had has been truly a breath of fresh air. And we're having so much fun.
and that's the bottom line. If you can't have fun doing it, well, what the fuck are you doing it for?
Right. And what's the fucking point in doing it?
I mean, what's the point, right? Go ahead, James.
And that's what I told him too. Whenever we first dropped the trailer for The House of Each Flesh, like I was like, holy shit! I was like, dude, like. You fucking set the bar for fucking
we kill each other.
Like you set the bar for indie horror. Like
he's got to be one of the top directors, at least from looking at these two projects, because these are two films that I'm looking forward to the most.
Right, and then he drops fucking Late Checkout. I'm like, holy fuck! Like this trailer was fucking. Just as goddamn good as a fucking holy shit! Like
he's on top of it, and you know he has an eye for really great talent. And I'll tell you, the thing I appreciate a lot about Late Checkout specifically is I think one of the most underrated times for horror movies, and a lot of people agree. And in fact, it's kind of the whole premise of this is like that late '90s, early 2000s. There were some amazing gems in that time period, especially that like 1998 to about 2006, that stretch, there's a lot of really good... Oh, I just moved my whole iPad. There is a lot of really amazing movies in that time. And I'm telling you, think about a movie like 13 Ghosts or Ghost Ship. Some of the gore in those movies was incredible. The way the movies were filmed, the lighting. You know, you go back and you watch Valentine. Go back and watch like Urban Legend and things like that. I mean, there are so many... incredible films in that time period. And he's like, you know, everybody's trying to do like Scream type ripoff movies. Everyone's trying to do 80s throwback 70s, but nobody's trying to kind of hit a little bit closer to home. And some of us who are kind of in our mid late 20s, a lot of our introductions to these horror films or just horror in general is early 2000s stuff. You know, I'm 27. So my introduction to a lot of horror was, you know, 2005, 2006, whatever was prominent at that time, whatever was in the theater, you know, that's the stuff that I was seeing a lot.
Sure.
And, you know, so I feel like that's a good way to get, you know, a wider audience or, you know, people who enjoyed some of the films from that time, but some of the younger audience that's kind of up and coming that really enjoy those movies as well. So he definitely has an eye for that kind of thing. And I think it's definitely going to set off a trend of people trying to recapture that time with, you know, the hard rock and heavy metal soundtracks, but kind of having the synthy stuff in there, but also the colorful lighting and, you know, it just all of that crazy stuff. But
yeah, it's a whole feel. It's a whole atmosphere, well, you know,
there's a lot of horror movies from the late 90s, early 2000s. I felt like they're trying to be. An Italian, like a giallo film from like that time period because of the way they were lit. The the faceless killers with like the crazy masks, the leather gloves, and the crazy weapons and over the top kills. I'm like, there's so much of that happening in that time, and it's like so derived right. from like Argento and Fulci films, and it's just like, why is nobody trying to do that right now? You know,
there's so many things. Yeah, if you're going to find anybody that's going to do it, it's probably going to be in the indie horror genre. We're about up to an hour, and I don't want to, you know, keep you guys too long. I want to thank you, Mouse, Molly, Derek, for hopping on. I wish we could have had Josh with us to, you know, talk about this from a director, you know, point of view. But soon we will have him on, and you guys are more than welcome to come back and you know, join in with them if you feel.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. I will be putting this on the YouTube page, and as well as getting the audio, just the audio, to the .com, nightlivingdreads.com, and that'll be out on Spotify, on Stitcher. This was a great conversation. I want to thank you guys, you know, very much for taking the time out and speaking with us. There's a kitty.
Yeah. This is Cringer. He jumped on my lap. There's 7 of them. So.
Oh, wow.
He's one of the ones who can walk.
So,
watched Molly fall in love before my very eyes the second she saw that cat.
We have a little cat picture relationship on the side. We won't get into it.
You guys hang on, don't go nowhere. I'm gonna put you guys in the backstage. I'm gonna say goodbye to everyone, and then I want to say goodbye to you guys after we are you know, not live anymore, because that's when we talk about all the good shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've run out of shit to say anyway. So hang tight, guys. And Jackamonkey, that was a fun show. It was kind of an impromptu kind of show. We had a special guest actually watching. I don't know if you're aware.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Zane. Hi, Zane. My grandson was watching.
Shit.
Yeah. I don't know Aww. If he's watching now, but he was making his mom, my daughter, take and watch me, which I know just had to tickle her fucking. You know, to no end, to have to watch my ass. Him, on the other hand, was probably loving it. So,
I say, pop,
I know, right? Pop, pop loves you. I'll see you soon. That was a great show, man.
And, yeah, it was fucking awesome, man.
And thank you guys. I know I wasn't as, you know, fucking spot on with the chat and everything. We had a lot of people talking and whatnot. And I was busy, you know, we're busy talking. There's 3 guests. Done that.
Yeah, a lot going on.
A lot going on. So Jackamonkey, thank you. We'll be back. Maybe we can get Josh on this coming Sunday. We'll have to see. We do have a guest hopefully lined up the week after, a week from this coming Sunday. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Jackamonkey, thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. It's a blast as always.
It was fun. So with that being said, you guys have a great start to your week. Just another manic Monday.
So right, no shit.
Who's breaking out in a Bengals song right now? This guy. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good week.
Good evening, everybody.